private message.
And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, bringing us today's topic on curios and prescription. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Nice to hear your voice. And just for a second week in a row, I'm going to remind folks that you will soon be available through AIR, and we'll be part of the AIR site. We haven't got it all together yet. We're working on it. But I'm hoping that very, very soon, Papa Newt, our own Papa Newt, will be a member of AIR, and then he can both be an announcer and he can be a guest. And that'll be fun. So just wanted everyone to know it again for the second time. Now, it's raining here, as it has been for many days, which is nice. It's kind of putting an end to the drought, or at least giving a good show at it. And that would be the California drought for all of you listening to this 10 years from now and have no idea where we're located. And that would have been the drought of that broke in 2016. I love having to always kind of nail these things down because people, they listen, they go, what are they talking about? I have a few announcements to make, and they are some pretty interesting ones. Number one, we are piling up people for the free correspondence course apprenticeship program. This is running May 9th through 13th. It is for graduates of my correspondence course. You can come out for a free week, 5-day week, of lessons, hands-on training, and learn how to make and do root work products. And it's going to be week 2 this time, which will be oils and incenses and mojo bags. 5 days, it's free, and all you have to do is trade some work with me. And if you're interested in this and are a graduate of the correspondence course, please contact Heidi Simpson at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, 707-887-1521, from 9 to 5, or you can email the company, but it would be better just to phone and ask for Heidi. And she's off on some days, she's there on some days, they'll let you know. But we're getting close to the wire on that, and we have some slots still open. I usually take a maximum of 20 people. We have not reached that number yet. I think we're at 11 or 12 right now. Okay, that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is that following that free apprenticeship, we're having our Hoodoo Heritage Festival on May 14th and 15th here in Forestville, California. And tickets are on sale at hoodooheritagefestival.com. And you can sign up. There is 2 full days of workshops, Presenter's dinner on Saturday has separate tickets, and so we hope to see you then and there. And it's going to be a wonderful program. We have a lot of new books coming out, a lot of things are going on. I've been working on books for weeks, and we're trying to get the books all to the printer. And the books will go on sale right after the festival ends. And these new books are going to be on North Asian magic. It's going to be one of them by David Shee. Another new book will be called The Sporting Life, and it's by Professor Porterfield. And it is on spells for prostitution, for gambling, illegal gambling, for bootlegging and drug dealing, for being on the down low, for anyone who deals in what used to be called the sporting life. Now, some of these things are becoming gradually more and more legal, like marijuana, and female impersonators no longer get arrested carte blanche by the police, but it still is the truth that in the history of our hoodoo and our conjure work, there are many spells for these things. And he's collected historical and has also found some current and contemporaneous spells for the sporting life, the demimonde. And it's a really cool book. I'm editing it right now. Another book we're bringing out is a new book, but not new. It is called Legends of Incense Urban Oil Magic. It was first published in 1936. In 1938, it was reprinted by taking out one whole chapter. And we are restoring it. And Gray Townsend is restoring all of the illustrations. And those of you who know this book know that over the years it just got more and more plugged in and faded out. And people would reprint it from a copy, a printed copy. And it just was just impossible to even read. And so this is a new restored and edited version of the book. One of the foundational books of urban hoodoo. It was first distributed in 1936 and mostly sold through African-American-owned newspapers like the Pittsburgh Courier and the Chicago Defender and the Afro-American in Baltimore. And so it's a book that had a huge impact on black communities because it was for sale, always in those newspapers. Many people bought it. And professional root workers such as myself, it often was our first book when we would buy it. And it's been out of print for a few years, so that's coming back into print. And I'll be teaching a workshop about these old books and how we're going to bring them back into print. And Professor Porterfield said malformation in the chat room. Yes, malformation is when you copy something from a printed copy, it either gets lighter and lighter and lighter, or it gets darker and darker and darker. And it's called malformation of type. And that is what happened to that book. But we're retypesetting it. And then the last of the books that are coming out for the festival is John St. Germain's book on crystal magic. And this is about divination, projection, that is mental projection or will or influence work, reception, which is telepathy or receiving messages, and then transformation or healing with crystals, with minerals and crystals. And there's long lists of the kinds of crystals, minerals, rocks. You know, in hoodoo, we all know lodestone, and many of us know quartz. Rose quartz is for love. But this is a book, not just one of those little shiny books with pictures of, oh, look, it's moldavite. No, no. This is a book on how to use these things. And it's a, it has spells. It has a lot of information on the history of crystal magic. It's a unique book. Nothing else like it has ever been published. And that will be the fourth book. And those will be given away free at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival to ticket holders. In other words, they're paid for by your ticket. But they will then go on sale at Amazon and at Lucky Mojo and at any other place like Papa Newt's Emporium and anybody else who has a shop. So that was my announcement for the day. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Ollie. How are things in Southern California, Ollie?
Things are wonderful. As a bibliophile, I should say a fellow bibliophile because you love books as well, just hearing you talk about all the lovely books that are coming out makes me quite excited, and I can't wait to read all of them. They all sound so wonderful. On my end, speaking of books, I've been busy with my own writing projects and organizing my books, which have for some reason managed to become quite a mess as usual. I think this is the nature of anyone who works with any tradition that you're going to look stuff up or you're going to look at correspondences or you're going to read, you're like, what was that one word thing? What was that one thing that one person said? You pull out books and then you end up leaving in piles. You have one open to one page and another to another. So I spent the weekend cleaning up a little bit of my books, which seems to be a never-ending task, but always a fun one.
Wow, okay. Well, before we bring in our guests, I'm going to answer a question that was asked in the chat room, which allows me to mention that we have a very active and wonderful chat room with this show. People are always taking part in it, and the chats are logged, and they are posted at the Lucky Mojo Forum. So just want to let you know that if you listen to the show as a podcast, you can get the chat and follow along, and it'll be in the forum. However, Miss Michael asked, a use of a wide variety of crystals is a newish branch of hoodoo, isn't it? And I said, yes, crystals, because many minerals are used in hoodoo, such as pyrite and so forth. But the book, the Crystal Magic Book, is not hoodoo exclusive. It combines New Thought, ceremonial magic, general occultism, and New Age concepts. In other words, it's a book being published by the Crystal Silence League and is therefore really about crystal silence work. And it contains some hoodoo things, of course, but it also contains many other things, including how to do healing with massage wands and matching stone spheres, things like that that would not be part of hoodoo per se, although any hoodoo practitioner, of course, could add them to their repertoire. But those are not things that necessarily come out of 19th or early 20th century African American culture. They are not even necessarily part of New Age culture. They may not be part of New Thought. They may be part of something else. They may be unique. And this is what's so interesting about this book. The Crystal Magic Book. Okay. Oh, and somebody mentioned Malcolm Mills. My gosh, now there's a blast from the past. The White Witch Doctor Malcolm Mills. Well, Malcolm Mills was an interesting character, and we could maybe one day do a nice historical show about his influence on New York City and early internet hoodoo. But no, this is not Malcolm Mills's work. But he wrote a book called A Course in Candle Burning, Oil, and Herb Magic. He was way downstream from Louis de Clermont and Legends of Incense, Herb, and Oil Magic. So just another nice guy who did some nice work, but that's not what we're reprinting. He's still around, and we don't have the copyrights to his material. Okay, now let's bring in our guest for the day. It's Madame Nadia. So, Madame Nadia.
Hello.
Hi. I just got noticed that my audio is going in and out, ? Is anyone else having trouble hearing my audio? Because I can
No,
dial back
you sound
in.
Fine to me.
Sounds fine to me as well.
Okay. All right. Well, then whoever had complained about it, it's their problem. Refresh your page, baby. I do the best I can. Hi, Madame
Nadia. It's probably spiritual activity over the that person. The Holy Ghost or something.
Right. Well, sweetheart, it's nice to hear your voice. Tell us what's been happening with you before we get into our panel discussion.
My life has been like a big race. There is a lot of different things happening. Nothing that is concrete yet, but I've been spinning all these different directions only as a triple Gemini could do. And now it's nice to be here and take a little breather. It's raining outside here too. Finally, we're not in freezing snow. It's actually raining and starts feeling like spring. So that is a very, very, very good feeling. And I like just to be able to sit here and talk to you guys instead of running like a little mouse, you know, it happens. So I'm grateful for being here.
Well, it's very nice of you to come on this show on short notice, and we really appreciate it.
We love having you on.
Yeah, you're a darling dear for doing this. Well, let's get to our topic. And our topic is kind of complex and interesting, curios versus prescriptions. Now, this is a very basic topic, but, you know, we don't always go to the more advanced topics because new people are constantly listening. So some of you old hands are going to go, I don't even get why they're asking that as a question. But it actually does come up as a question with new people, partly because hoodoo is so thing-oriented. In other words, it's not visualization magic. We have stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have terminology that goes with that stuff. So words that you'll hear us using are things like amulets, talismans, curios, right? And those are stuff on the one hand. And then on the other hand, you hear words that often come out of old European folk magic and old European ceremonial magic, and they would be words like elixirs and potions and tisanes and teas. And these are things that come out of the pharmacy aspect of folk magic. Now, folk magic has in it several different branches, and the pharmacy branch of folk magic really does relate to medicinal folk herbology. In other words, these things might be used for curing a disease. And so magically they also have a similar use or slightly different use, sometimes quite different use, but usually it's similar. So what happens when we bring in the folk magic aspects of the pharmacy of medical herbology is that we often find root workers reluctant to claim a medical prescription because they're afraid they're going to get busted by the FDA for, you know, fraudulent practicing medicine without a license. And of course, in the past, so many of our colleagues, and I can show you, I have a collection of these court cases, and you can find them all. They were published in the newspapers, and you can also find them at the old internet legal law case deposits that they picked on. They deliberately picked on and went after African-American and Jewish manufacturers of magical goods. And they were very, they would specifically state that these were fraudulent. And of course, if you said, for instance, that such and such an herb might cure a cold, you could be arrested for that and all your stuff confiscated. So people began to try to soft pedal that, and they used words like alleged and so-called. And they made a distinction between the curios, such as a John the Conqueror root, and the medical, magical teas, elixirs, and tinctures. And they began to stop selling tinctures when the Volstead Act was passed. The Volstead Act is also known as the American Prohibition of Alcohol. Right? And when that happened, there wasn't any alcohol, so you couldn't make a tincture. And after alcohol was made legal again, it went illegal around 1920, made legal again around 1933. But when it was made legal again, the use of those tinctures had fallen into disuse. And so that never kind of rejoined hoodoo in the way that it probably should have. But nowadays, we're all kind of calming down about alcohol being legal, and we can make our tinctures again. So that's my introduction to this topic. Now, I want to turn this over to Madame Nadia because it's really her topic to talk about. But I wanted to set the scene that what we're talking about is that split and also the reunion between curios, amulets, talismans, and then the use of tinctures and other prescriptive remedies. So take it away, Madame Nadia.
Well, it's very interesting that you brought this aspect about alcohol prohibition and the whole division or marriage between folk practices and medicine. Recently, I am working on a very interesting case, and it is involving sexual nature drinks. And I'm working with a male, which is very interesting to me because usually I get women coming to me. So one of the things that I've been working on was making a special whiskey and cooking it with, of course, calamus, which is one of the prescriptions that you, my dear cat, give in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't done this kind of, I want to say, witchery for a long time because I also sort of, you know, separate myself. I'm saying all the time I am not a medical doctor, you know, this is hoodoo, you know, you should go to a doctor. But then here I am standing in my kitchen, you know, I have St. Michael's statue there, everything is lit, I have all these candles, I'm cooking this whiskey, and the feeling is incredible because you can feel the herb in it, the spirit of it. Whiskey obviously has the spirit of it. You talking your prayers into that, and the feeling is amazing. And also the experience of giving it to your client, you know, It's not like, well, this is a candle, you light it, or this is this. It's like, no, you're going to be drinking this stuff from now on. And you better be doing it, you know, every day, because we know already how you got yourself in trouble. But it's a beautiful, amazing experience. I think that something so wonderful about feeling it all coming to life. I think that we all get into our routine of the things that we work more and the things we work less, and we forget to a degree this a virginal feeling when you start working with herbs and you start feeling, discovering their spirit, or you're curious when you discover, you know, how is lodestone, what is the experience of holding a lodestone, or a different lodestone, you know, or a dead lodestone, or two lodestones. So there is so much power in it, and when we start experiencing this power, it's so much easier to empower our clients with that, because
right.
a lot of times our energy, our what is the word for it, our how we go about it influences the client. If you just, oh yeah, just, you know, take this down today, it's going to be great, they're going to feel like, oh yeah, awesome. But if you just made this whiskey and you hold it and you feel it and they can feel it, I think this is half of the process is there, because you reinstall their faith.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna step in here too. This really has a lot to do with older style work. And in my book, Hoodoo Urban Root Magic, I mentioned a few of those that I was taught back in the 1960s. My favorite one of them was to take 9 double shoestrings and tie them up with 9 knots and insert them into a whiskey and drink it. You could also insert it into Hoyt's cologne and use the same thing with the Hoyt's cologne as a rub or perfume. But the idea was that both of them were protective. But if you did it in whiskey, you were to drink it. Also, John the Conqueror root, which is usually carried as a curio, it's a strong laxative. But if you can take a few John the Conqueror root chips and put them in whiskey and let them sit and shake them up, you're not going to be taking a whole lot. Remember, it's quite a strong laxative. This is not like taking senna tea or something like that. But
yeah,
you are going to take a teaspoonful. Yeah. So, and there's a few of them. There are that have strong herbs that are used in tincture form. And Ali, you also come out of a tradition that, in addition to hoodoo, you have that background from Afghanistan, and they certainly were pharmacy remedies, home pharmacy remedies. What ones do you remember being told when you were young?
Oh, there's quite a bit. I mean, it's a whole actual system. It's called Yunani, and it's really rooted in Arabic, Greco-Arabic medicinal practices that spread throughout the region. You find it in North Africa, with variations, North Africa, the Middle East, South Asia, and even in India. In India, the two prominent traditions when the British colonized India, and then they set up what are known as the tropic medicine, right? The two traditions that they discovered were Ayurvedic medicine and Yunani, and these are, so you still see quite a bit of it. And in my own practice, both as a root doctor, I was trained in Virginian-style root doctoring, which involves making teas for people, making rubs for people. One of the things I learned quite early on is how to make a salve, for example, and how to make certain rubs. Those were very, very common. And that the clients would take them home with them. These were rubs that would be put on the body or on the foot. Lots of things soaked in whiskey again. You know, whiskey was used quite often. And the idea was that you'd be taking a small shot of it. And it was meant to cure various ailments or whatnot. I do also want to speak a little briefly about kind of the difference between elixir and potion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the kind of framing of what is really the difference between these two things. And I think there is a variety of different ways to approach it. One is a very general approach. Elixir tends to be associated with something regarding health. You create an elixir for a health-related matter. A potion is more spiritual-oriented. There's also the, you know, you create a potion for love, you create a potion for something. Then there's also how they're prepared. A potion is a more generic or general approach. It can be a tea, it can be a mixture, whereas an elixir usually involves some form of heat for reducing something. And this comes really from an alchemical idea of what is an elixir. And then there's a consistency approach to it. Elixirs tend to be thicker, so they have a more syrup or milky quality to them, whereas a potion can be alcohol or water, something much thinner in that regard. I think, however, that while these are kind of useful categories for us to put things in, they don't really matter in practice. The real focus should be on what the purpose of what you're trying to make is. Is this something is it going to be ingested internally? Is it going to be put on the body? Is this aimed towards something more, spiritual? Are you going to be affecting love? Or is it something much more biological? Are you going to try to cure something? So knowing a little bit, having a hand not only with herbs and roots, but also having a hand in the preparation of them, is really where you're going to start off making these things. It's not just about taking a couple of roots and tossing them into some boiling water. There is knowing the botany behind it, knowing the herbal qualities behind it, the medicinal qualities behind it, and then also knowing how to properly prepare. For example, nowadays when I tell students to make a salve, I grew up learning how to make a salve, and I knew what a salve was, but when I tell my students, we're going to be making a salve, they kind of look at me like, what the heck is that? Right? So like... It's about learning how to make these things and work in a way that's a little bit different than what we think about when we think of hoodoo in the modern era.
Right. Well, I'm going to go back to the other part, the versus part, which is curious, talismans and amulets. Okay?
Yeah.
So amulets and talismans also come in a variety of types. There are those that are carried for luck, usually called amulets, and I believe that's from an Arabic word. And the word talisman generally, although not exclusively, refers to things that are carried for protection, although many people also call them for luck. There was a tendency in the 20s to use the word mascot to mean a lucky charm, and that has fallen out of use, and now a mascot is a person who dresses in the costume of a sports team. But it used to be they would say, I have mascots on my car, meaning that they had lucky charms hanging from their rearview mirror. And, of course, then the word charm. Now, charm is an interesting word because charm it really has to do with a spoken spell. But it got transferred to an object, a thing. And so we talk about lucky charms. But these are all in hoodoo under the name of curio, but curio also includes other things, such as oils and incenses are also sometimes called curios, and meaning that they are curious objects, unusual objects. And so these words have kind of blurred together. If you are told by a root worker to carry a charm, an amulet, or talisman, they want you to be carrying that on your person. They, in the old days, all of this candle burning stuff that we do see so much now was not the central focus of hoodoo. If you want to, you could read in the old Harry Hyatt books, for instance, where he interviewed people from 1936 to 1940. Or you could read Newbell Niles Puckett's book from 1926. Candle burning was done, but it was not the central work of hoodoo. Much more central was the making of custom-made amulets and talismans. These would have been incorporating not just a silver dime, although they did use that, of course, and we still do, but a packet, like a mojo, would be an amulet, or it might be considered a talisman. Some people call it a fetish, which meant that it was something made by hand. But when you got that, you often would get with it something to drink or bathe in. In other words, there were two aspects. There was the things that were to be carried on you and the things that were to be drunk or applied to your body. And they are different.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, very few people, now it's more like a shopping store. You know, you go to the shelves and you go, I want one of these, these, and these. It's not like going to the pharmacy where you ask the pharmacist, what do I need? And if more people ask their root worker, what do I need, they'd probably be getting more elixirs, potions, and talismans and amulets and fewer candles. But that's just
that's
my
so
theory.
True. So true, so true. Because this involves a level of prescription, right? The tradition of candles is very self-help almost, if you will, you know, to kind of borrow that phrase. And even there, there is an element of prescription, which candle should I use, is how it was traditionally done. Nowadays, there's a bit of a consumer mentality. I want this. I grew up remembering that you asked, that when you went to a candle store, you said, I'm looking for a happy marriage. And they're like, okay, I know what to do. They don't even tell you what the candle was. They would just tell you, here, write on this piece of paper, and then they handled it, right? Like, they didn't always even explain what they were doing. They just took the candle and did it. There was a very clear prescription element to this. Now, interestingly, I actually reversed those, Miss Cat, the talisman and amulet, being protective, right, to ward off or to keep things away.
Really?
And talisman, and that's because in the Roman tradition,
it drives things away. Right.
I agree. Actually, this is what I'm doing. I'm thinking about it the same way, too, Ali.
Well, I'm talking about the way people use the word in modern America.
Yeah, exactly.
And
like
another word that you'll find is the word token. And token, it doesn't mean any of those things, and yet it's used as sort of what we might call verbal code. I'm carrying a token with me. Now, a token is a form of scrip or a non-coin that is used for monetary, you know, like getting on a subway. You have a token you paid for, but now you've got this non-coin. But yet I've heard many, many people call a John the Conqueror route a token.
Oh, interesting.
People, they will say to you, do you carry tokens with you? But they don't mean metal discs.
I actually wanted to go back to a question that was actually in the chat room. Someone mentioned that it's difficult for women to carry talismans and whatnot because they don't have pockets. And this really goes back to what you define as a talisman or an amulet. For me, when I make talismans, which are to draw things, they can come in any shapes. They can be necklaces, they can be rings, they can be a little coin that has a hole through it that you wear around your ankle or you wear around your neck. Even if you're uncomfortable wearing jewelry, there's ways of making it. One of the oldest kind of amulets or protective kind of charms that people use is a small medallion that's sewn onto a dress, right? And so there's all sorts of ways to make these type of charms or these kind of physical magical objects. They don't have to be big clunky things that you put in your pocket. They're worn on the body. They're worn as rings. People put them in their shoe. I mean, there's a lot of protective amulets that you put right into your shoe.
You can even potentially take something, write it on paper, burn it, and use the ashes of something that you blow on your clothes before you go to work for protection. I mean, it's really, there's no end to it. And I kind of wanted to go back to the word charm, which is very interesting to me because a charm is a spoken magical word or so. But when we stick it onto an object, then that object becomes a talisman or an amulet, right? We transform it, as well as with elixir. Elixir, to me, is something very alchemical. You take one or two things that turn into a third thing. So the third thing, sometimes when you work with amulets, they become, it's like entities, just like a mojo bag, because we never treat a mojo bag as like, oh, I have this little thing on me, right? It's more like it's my tag, entity. So I think that it's very important as a root worker also to remember that you birth those things for people. So putting things together, and then there is a spirit to everything that we create. And another thing about amulets that I see very, or talismans recently a lot, people tattooing that on themselves. They go with a sigil, or they go with something that's lucky for them or protective, and they put it on their body as a tattoo. And that way you really don't need any pockets or anything like that. to make sure it's on you. But it's a very interesting. You have, I think, you have to be really committed to something in order to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
I got to jump in here on a couple of things. We had some comment in the chat, and I want to thank all you guys in the chat room. You guys are real active and real great, and you've given us some ideas here. Two Moon said a coin with a hole that you could attach the hole to the clothing or with a small safety pin. Yes, or you can sew it on. And it's very common in the old days to use a coin that had stars on it, the 13 stars for the 13 original colonies, and you would pierce the middle star, and that was a useful way to do it. Another one talks about magical tattoos, and Ollie mentioned that. That's you can do temporary tattoos as well. You know, just you don't
yeah,
have to
Hannah.
Be permanent
mm-hmm.
tattoos. Then somebody else mentioned about carrying things around the waist, and so they used to carry them around the waist. But you know, a lot of women now are wearing these little belt packs with the little pouches on them. And you wear them right around your waist. And they usually, like I wear one, a lot of us wear them here at work at Lucky Mojo, and I know a lot of places people have them. They're different names for them. They're made of leather, and they got little pouches on. Well, you can put all your stuff in there, and they usually have zipper pockets in the inside. And that's another thing. If you wear a belt, a lot of men wear a belt with their pants. You can buy a belt with a zipper, you know, for hiding money and credit cards and stuff, and you can put all your goodies in that zipper pouch instead of in your pocket, so when your lady goes through your pockets, she never finds it because she never knows that you've got zipper pouches behind your belt, because most ladies don't know that except for I just blew the whistle on it.
You can also put a small coin charm. I'm going to mention two things here. You can also put a small coin charm or a written charm or talisman or amulet in a phone case. Really easy to do. Some people have phone cases that connect to their belts. Or if you're one of those iPhone users where it's kind of a sleeve, I slip it behind that sleeve. And I recommended that to quite a few clients. Most people never leave without their phone, so it's a nice little amulet or charm that you can take with you. Going back to the idea of sewing things onto your clothes, though, that's really old school, and I mentioned something that's a bit of a historical kind of curio, if you will, and these are the root workers' vests. And these were popular. It's regional. I don't want to see all of a sudden, everyone wore root workers' vests, and they were like a magician's cloak. No, that's not true. They were very regional, and you only saw them in certain parts of the United States, and it was very, you know, more of a rural setting of root doctors than you found in the urban setting. And they were vests that had dozens and dozens of pockets that were filled with roots and curios and whatnot.
Right,
and they harkened all the way back to the Congo.
Right. And you can get those, the hunter's vest is what would be a type of that, or fisherman's vest. That's right. All right, guys. Well, we've come to the end of this little topic, and we're going to let Papa Newt pick it up, and we're going to come back and do some reading. So take it away, Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Nadia, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. We have our caller calling in from area code 828 in North Carolina. This is NASA. NASA, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
Hello, and I see this is your first time calling in. Welcome to the show.
Yes, very first time.
Oh, welcome. You're welcome, hon. And I see that you have not gone to Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali or any other readers for this situation. Is that correct?
No, I have never.
All right. And Nessa writes, I have been married 31 years. Yes, I am a Taurus.
and have a hard time trying to get out of this relationship. My husband is not a bad person. I think just not suited to me. I have no job other than caregiving for his mother and late father and no money to speak of. We live with family. I do have family and friends that would take me in. I am just struggling with letting him know and how I will go about this. And what will the repercussion be when he will be when he go and vindicates Monster on me? Turning back over to you, Ms. Kat.
Yeah, I think she asked, "Will he go all vindictive Monster on me?" Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I know you're a Taurus, and Tauruses have a difficult time changing states. I'm a Taurus myself, and so is Ollie, and so is Papa Newt. Maybe when you get some talk with Nadia, the Gemini, you'll learn more about how to change easily. But let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Your husband, and you've been married for 31 years, do you have any children?
No.
No children? And what sign is your husband?
Pisces.
A Pisces. All right. I'm going to say one thing based straight off of astrology. No, he will not go all vindictive on you.
Mm-hmm.
Pisces tends to be a fairly gentle, mystical, some people call it a weak sign. They tend to go along to get along. They are not known as, you know, axe murderers. Very rarely would you find a Pisces that would be an axe murderer. They're more interested in, you know, art and music and just the gentle things of life. And they tend to have a kind of what we call a watery nature. A Taurus can dominate a Pisces if they wish anytime.
Hmm.
Just saying. Okay, it's easy for a Taurus to dominate a Pisces. Not always the nicest thing to do, but it can be done. All right, so I'm going to do the first reading here, and the question is, how do you go about getting away? Well, that's really more of a social question, and what will the repercussions be? I think that's more of a mystical or spiritual question.
Right.
So what will the repercussions be? Card number one, I have the Wheel of Fortune. Well, that's an improvement. That is a card that shows a big wheel in the middle of the air, and around the sides of the card are four animals, an eagle, a man, a bull, and a lion, all of them with wings, and they all have books. And the books means that they're reading, they're studying. And this is a symbol from the Bible. And they're like angels. And they stand for the four fixed signs of the zodiac, Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. And in the center, there's a big wheel. And the wheel has the letters R-O-T-A, Rota, which means wheel in Latin. And it also has Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which means Jehovah in Hebrew. And it has the symbols for the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And it has a sphinx with a sword. And that sphinx is a sphinx of justice. And we say that it's neutral, but it's inclining to be of help. A snake is falling off, and another being, a priest of the god Anubis, a sort of a wolf or jackal-headed man with like a mask on, is rising up. And he stands for the loyal companion, just the way a dog or a wolf would be a loyal friend. He is a guide. And the snake is a somewhat less than desirable type of friend. So this tells me that you will be undergoing great changes, and they will be all for the good. The repercussions will be good. And they might even include you meeting somebody else. In other words, you might not have to live your life alone, but you might meet someone else. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Right.
One of the things about this, the fact that these angels have these little books in their hands and their little feet, is that you should document everything. We always say write a journal. You don't have to publish it. I'm just saying document everything that's happening. It's going to be important later on. The next card is called the Tower. This is going to hit your husband fairly hard, it looks like. The Tower shows people being thrown out of a tower as lightning strikes it. Is he aware that you want to do this?
No.
No, it's going to come like a bolt.
Before.
Yeah. It's going to come like a bolt of lightning to him, and it's going to be a problem when it hits for him. You might want to work on softening that blow, because the Tower is a negative card, because it just shows people getting blown apart, everything comes falling down. It can mean the end of a relationship. And I said he was not a vindictive type, but he might be an angry type, and that is different. He might he might do something on the spur of the moment that would be greatly to be regretted, but he will not stalk you forever. That's what I call vindictive. But at the moment when he learns about this, he may lose his marbles. And this tower shows the top of the tower being blown off. It has a crown on it, which stands for the mind or the thinking processes. And it's all on fire, like the kind of like the Twin Towers were on fire, but there's just one tower. And so... Okay. Be careful that he doesn't decide to take you down with him. It's a danger card.
Okay.
And in fact, Ucky, I have another danger card. I hate to do this to you because you've never done anything on this. The third card is the devil. And that shows it shows a man and a woman with chains around their necks, and they are chained to a ring and a rock, and on the rock sits the devil. And the devil is frowning, and he's an old... he's got a goat's head and horns. He's got bat wings. He's got chicken legs and goat thighs and a man's body. And he's kind of a ugly devil. And he is setting the man's tail on fire. Is your husband prone to outbursts of anger? Does he drink or something?
He does not drink. I'm actually recovered, but he never has. He has a big anger issue.
Yeah, because this is
held in check for a while.
He's what?
He's held it in check for a while, so it could become a big outburst.
Yeah. Well, this shows the devil setting the man's tail on fire. So we have two images with fire. If there's fire, it's going to come fast. The woman is chained, and they're not, how can I put this? The devil is not holding you to him. In some senses, you are both holding yourself chained to a situation that probably shouldn't exist anymore. It should be a situation that probably does need to resolve. It's not a good marriage is what I'm seeing here. And for whatever reason you have, you do need to move on. If you move on, you'll find something better. But the transition is not going to be easy. And I would like you to make sure that you have some friends with you. Once that moment of anger is gone, it probably will be gone. But there is a danger point here. Both of these cards, and I know that Ali and Nadia are listening to me and they're going, oh my God, the tower and the devil, and she's kind of soft pedaling it. If this was Candelo reading for you, if this was Candelo Kimbisa, he'd be telling you much harsher than me, watch out, watch out, watch out, because these are dangerous cards. There is a possibility of some kickback here, and not of someone stalking you for the rest of your life, but an outburst. Okay, it's a bad one. And I was also nice about Pisces tend to be pretty weak. This is a Pisces that got to the boiling point.
He's a critical Pisces.
this is a very difficult. Set of cards. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Madam Nadia, and maybe she can also take you what's happening and also where you're going to get, how are you going to live, because we didn't get that either, and I'm not seeing a good thing here either on that one.
I'm not that worried about that.
Okay.
Because I do have family and friends.
Okay.
Well, that's very good that you have family and friends, because you, during times like that, you definitely need a support system. No matter how crazy the Pisces may be, you still need to have somebody around you that's there to take care of you or just to give you a hug and tell you that everything is going to be okay. Now, I'm reading the Sibylla card, which is an Italian oracle deck, and I'm happy to let you know that my card is not as intense as Miss Cat's, because I was worried that if I'm going to have intense cards too, it will be just a tragic episode of Lucky Mojo Root Workout. But I can tell you that it's definitely not going to be easy. First of all, my spirit tells me that there is a good reason why you didn't mention anything up until now. So I think that both you and your husband have some things that you don't want to bring to the table for certain reasons. And I'm not going to go into that. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but there is interest or motive behind those actions. Now, the first card that I got is the Child reversed. It's Seven of Diamonds, and it's a Child reversed. What it's telling me is that, first of all, that this, as Ms. Kett said, this situation, this relationship has been over for a while. And another thing that it tells me is that he is definitely going to react in some erratic behavior. To me, it's more childish. It's going mm-hmm. to be really not appropriate for a man of his age. It's not going to be appropriate at all. He's going to be throwing tantrums and things like that, but I do not see him setting the house on fire. I do not see him going, you know, to the bar and beating anybody up, but you're definitely going to get that. And you, it's going to be very traumatizing for you. I'm going for my second card, and it's Ace of Spades reversed, and in this deck it's called Displeasure, and we see a woman that is crying, and she's standing by the table, and there is a paper or a letter on the table. So he is he's going to try to terrorize you. It's not something that you cannot deal with, but it's definitely going to cause you headaches. And you're going to be thinking there, well, how, you know, why do I need to, I shouldn't have said anything, or why is he doing it to me? It does not make any sense. The way to calm him down, this is in the seventh, in the third card, which is the Seven of Diamonds, and this is a card where we see a man that is sitting on a rock, and his eyes are closed, and he's dreaming about this money and heart and all these pleasant things. And to me, it says the divorce, I don't know if you have the prenuptial agreement or when you want to be divorcing, the way you're going to be dividing stuff, when he's going to get what he wants, really materially, he'll be fine. So as long as he understands that you're not going to, pardon my French, fuck him over in that sense, he'll come down.
I would just leave with nothing.
Okay, this is how the headache is going to happen. So if the situation comes to a point where he's throwing tantrums and you're crying looking at divorce paperwork, maybe you should divide the stuff between you and him. But this is what I see, and I hope that my colleague Ali here is going to give you some good root work advice.
Okay. All right. We're going to turn it over to Ali, and he's going to give you some advice. In the chat room, John Wolf said working with a counselor, but I just want to let John understand this is a root work show. So, yes, it goes without saying, with this many cards that show explosiveness, mm-hmm. we would certainly mm-hmm. want to involve a mediator or a counselor, but we're going to try to set the scene to get the best counselor and mm-hmm. also to get the best results through root work, because that's what we're really doing. Okay, so take it away, Ali.
Thanks, Kat. And thank you for that reading, Madam Olivia. Miss my counselor, these predictions don't sound all weak and watery to me. And I actually don't feel that the water signs are weak. They're just different. For like a Taurus, we're pretty solid, right? And so it comes off mm-hmm. as strength. But it's a different type of strength. And the water signs are weak. And wateriness has its own kind of darkness to it. And this is something you need to understand. Pisces, like many water signs, have the potential for addiction. They also feel extremely strongly. And there's a depth to that emotion that can be dark and it can drag you down. This is what Kat was talking about when she's mentioned in the Devil card and the Tower card. I mean, I think she was being very diplomatic in that. But mm-hmm. she's right on the money with it. She's telling you, look, so you may be a water sign, but there's a depth and darkness there. So you need to be very careful. And Madam Nadia, when she said the child, I almost laughed because in traditional understanding of Pisces from the medieval astrology, this is kind of forgotten nowadays. Pisces is actually associated with childlike behavior. They tend to be dreamers and they tend to have fantasies, but they also have childlike inappropriateness to them. So both of these readers are giving you something very important here and telling you insight about this man. So how do we design work revolving around that? What I would recommend is a moving candle spell, something that is gentle, something that is gradual, and something that will get him used to you moving on and you and him moving on, especially considering that he's not going to be aware of this. This is also for you as well. A Taurus doesn't do well with change. Even though you're saying he's not the one for me, I'm ready to go. The reality is, our peeps our peak stories, we don't deal with change very often, very well, especially a big change like this, and it takes us a while to really get back onto our feet. So a moving candle spell. Take one white male figure candle. Name it for him. Inscribe his name on it. Take a female figure candle. Name it for you. Inscribe it with your name. You are going to take separation oil, not breakup oil, separation oil. It's gentler. It's more gradual. You're going to anoint the backs of both of these with separation oil, saying that it's time for us to move apart with healing, understanding. It's time for us to separate. And the front, I want you to anoint or dress with blessing oil. You're going to set these back to back on a surface, light the candles, pray over them, and move them a little bit. It could be a centimeter, an inch, whatever. You know the distance based on the surface that you have. You're going to let them burn for a little bit, then snuff out. You're going to then repeat this the next day, lighting it, moving it a little bit. And you're going to keep doing this for 7 days until they're burned down and they're far apart from one another. You're going to take what's left of his wax and you're going to dispose of it at a crossroads. And you're going to say, my dear husband, our time has come. Our marriage is run its course. You are now going to go far, far away from me, emotionally and physically. Then you are going to take your wax, and you're going to bury it wherever you're going to want to live. You said you have some friends or family that are going to take you in, so you want to bury that there. Next, what I want you to do is take some peace water and sprinkle it around the house. This is to make sure that as this process is going on, everything remains in check. The final thing that you need is to control his temper. So take a small piece of paper, and you're going to write in big, bold letters, temper. Underneath it, you're going to write temper again, but minus the R. And then you're going to do it again, minus the E. And you're going to keep doing this, reducing one letter until only a T is left. You are then going to write his name over this 3 times. Place this upside down in your right shoe so that you have control over him and he keeps his temper in check. Now, the paper may dissolve or whatnot, and you're going to keep making this entire time until you finally separate and move on. These 3 workings done together are going to help you transition. And then, of course, it's going to take courage on your own part, right? You need to be able to approach this. Let's see if Ms. Kat and Madam Nadia have any further suggestions that they may
have based off of the reading. I think I do have one thing to say. This is brilliant 3-part work. The only thing I would add, when you take his wax, the wax of his candle to the crossroads, if you wish to, and you don't have to, but I would add this one little thing. You're going to have some separation oil left over, and I would take that separation oil and maybe, depending on what kind of a crossroad you use, mix it with a little Florida water. Just stir it up together and put out a little bit of it and set it on fire behind him so he cannot come back. I mean, it's just going to, he's got to go, blip, that's it, he's off. And set his candle, set his candle wax, instead of at the center of the crossroads, set it in the direction you want him to go. You want him to go north, south, east, or west, or wherever you're going in the direction. And you're just going to, another way you can do it, if you like, and some people do this, is literally throw down a line of the alcohol and set it on fire. Mm-hmm. It's not very nice because sometimes you can melt the asphalt. But, you know, it's just like a bar of the door. If you don't want to do it with fire, and you because if he has a temper issue, you can take barberry herb and chop up the barberry. You can chop it up in a coffee grinder or whatever. Barberry and mix it with separation oil and just lay down a line of it. Bar him from coming back on you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Very nice.
Okay. Everything else, though, was fantastic. It was beautiful work, Holly. Just great. I mean, everything was just wonderful. I'm just wanting to close the door there. All right. We're come up to the end of this segment. We're going to go have an announcement. We're going to do another reading. You're listening to Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forest Hill, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Air, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 713 in Houston. This is Ash. Ash, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you.
And also, I see you have not gone to, haven't gone to Miss Cat or Contramentally on this reading, but you have had a reading back in 2011 with Deacon Millett on a completely separate topic. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And Ash writes, I need some guidance / clarity on my financial, career, and health future. Don't know which direction to go in life, career-wise. Will my health get better? Will and how to get my finances turned around? Turning it back to you, Ms. Cat.
All right. Okay, well, it's nice to meet you. I'm going to turn this right over to Ali, and he's going to do your first reading. And I have one question before I give it to him, actually. You said you want to know if your health will get better.
Yes.
If it's okay, can we ask what kind of health problems have you had?
Sure. I have a very, it's not exactly rare, but it's a very not well known, and not even a lot of doctors don't know about it, the GI disorder that came along from being a childhood diabetic. And so I have a lot of issues. I've had a couple of surgeries. I have a lot of hospital admissions. I get all sick a lot, and which has interrupted my career. And it's pretty much taken me from working and being independent and doing everything having everything I wanted to.
I see. And about how old are you?
I'm almost 30.
30. All right. So you're still very young. All right,
yeah.
Ali, take it away. It's all yours now.
Thanks, Ms. Cat. I pulled a few cards here. My cards, this happens sometimes, right? Like you have a couple different things here. You're asking about life direction. You're asking about health. You're asking about career. And the cards focus on one thing, right? The thing that the spirits feel is the most important. And right now, health is the one that's coming up. As significantly the most important. I have here the very first card is a Five of Cups. The Five of Cups tells us where things were and what we need to kind of deal with in order to move forward. I see here a sorrowful individual, a person who has been through a lot, who has felt ruin and brokenness, who has felt incompleteness, and has looked at this sort of disaster. This person is garbed in black, and they're looking down at three spilled cups of red wine, milk, and water. And this represents really kind of the mind, body, and spirit. This isn't just a physical ailment that you're dealing with, but it's also taken a deep mental and emotional toll on you. And there is a draining quality here, sort of losing or feeling your strength and your ability to fight kind of drain away. So be very careful about that you don't give in to a fatalism, that you don't give in to sorrow, that you're not crestfallen, that you don't give in to this kind of resignation, that there is still hope. Because in this card, there's two cups that are perfectly upright behind this person. You can recover your health, but it will require someone walking with you. There are two cups here, not one cup. So someone needs to walk side by side with you in order to turn this situation around. And I do see this because the next card is the Knight of Cups. This is the person who has picked up that goblet behind the figure in the Five of Cups and is now walking through the desert. This person is a stalwart knight that is steadily trotting through the desert and is now reaching an oasis. There is a reprieve coming for you. This reprieve will likely come closer to the end of the year. You need to find I don't know how many doctors you're working with or medical health professionals you're working with, but look to see someone who is a bit younger, someone who is energetic, someone who is braver, who may try different methods or approaches If you know this person already, fantastic. If not, start to see if you can bring this person onto your team. You will also know them because they will have something with fishes associated with them. Either they will be a Pisces themselves. We mentioned Pisces earlier in the show. They are fantastic healers. Either they will be a Pisces on the show, or they're a fisherman, or they fish for fun, or they have a fish somewhere in their office. So be aware of that this person needs to be in your life as a medical health assistant, someone who will assist you through this. And the outcome for it is positive. I do see your health improving. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a group of people who will stand with you. But the final card is the World card. The World card is one of victory and success and recovery. It shows a woman who is able to finally throw off the fetters that tie her down and dance naked in the sky, surrounded by a wreath, and looked on. So this is a good sign, and it tells me that you will have an improvement in health. It's going to require you being able to acknowledge that much of this requires emotional strength in addition to the kind of physical medical work that you do, that you need to be able to say, look, I've gone through a lot. I feel downtrodden and hurt, but I need to pick myself up, find the person who will walk with me, and then bravely walk through the desert with full faith, knowing that at the end of the desert, there's an oasis where you can refresh yourself. And you're going to feel, you know, as you travel, that it is difficult. But with the right people, things will improve. I see that that end of this year is really kind of a turnaround point. That doesn't mean everything is going to be solved by the end of this year. It means that it's going to take until the end of this year before things turn around. And that's what I see in my reading, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, and don't forget what he said about the symbol of fishes. Sometimes people have no idea how that plays out, but it will. And Miss Michaela in the chat room said perhaps an aquarium in the office. You'll
yes,
know.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's possible.
Or maybe it'll be a Dr. Fishbein, you know, which means fish bones in German. Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Nadia, and she's going to do a reading.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
What I did is I pulled three cards from my Sibylla deck, and interestingly enough, they also speak about your health, and it's very, very clear that this is what the conversation should be about. My first card is the priest. The priest in this deck has many, many different meanings. One of them is obviously a priest. The other meaning it can be, it represents a doctor, somebody who has studied for their profession a lot. But for me, this is both of them. You need a need in a different doctor, a different outlook, and also a need in a root worker, a male root worker that's going to support you and help you. And I'll tell you why, because my second card is the messenger, and it's the messenger reversed. So the messenger reversed can talk about results that are wrong, but it also can talk about bills and money, things that you have to invest in your health and make it difficult to actually do what you need to do. So I think that partially the root worker can help you generate more money, and you were talking about your career and success. So have somebody else support you, you know, to be in your corner. That would be very, very, very helpful. And the third card is, interestingly, is a card that's called sickness. I will see a sick person in bed. But the good thing about it is that when the sickness card shows up upright, it means that there is a lot of hope, and there is the sickness or the illness is smaller and more manageable than we think it is. So with the right perspective, a different doctor and a root worker on your side who can help you, and you don't need to worry about money as much because they're helping you, your situation can be resolved. Now, what another thing that sort of I feel that I need to say is that the condition that you have is a condition that cannot go away completely, correct? Correct. Yeah, I'll have it forever. So I think one of the things that help us to deal with conditions like that is that we allow ourselves to accept it. Meaning, obviously, it's not fun, and you would not choose to have it. But being angry at it and hating it maybe, or whatever you feel towards it, is not necessarily going to help you, because this is part of who you are, unfortunately. And I'm telling you that as a person who, on my own, have conditions like that I fought with and hated for a while, and then sort of accepted them and moved forward. Because that is going to help you to move forward in a healthy way. And this is a spiritual journey for you, truly. It's not just the physical thing. It's a spiritual journey. And when you're going to have somebody who's a spiritual worker that's supporting you, that transformation might be easier as well. So I'm not saying, you know, be happy that you have it. Absolutely not. But when we change our mind and we change our perspective, new people come into our lives and new solutions come into our lives, and then we are able to deal with it in a healthier way. That is what I'm saying. That's what I see in the cards.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, in the chat room, Papa Newt mentioned working with Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez. He is a spirit who was a doctor, lived in Venezuela. You can look him up. And Papa Newt said, always ask him to work alongside the doctors to find the best solution, as well as to be with the patient as they go through the medical matter. And Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez is not one who necessarily will heal, and he works very well. And thanks, Papa Newt, for mentioning this. He's a spirit that you can just ask for help, that your doctors will do the latest due diligence. Because often, if it's a chronic condition, new treatments may be developed during the course of your life, and you don't want to be stuck with a treatment that's 20 years out of date 20 years from now. So nowadays with the Internet, patients are much more self-advocating, but Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez will help you find the right doctor and the doctor who can help you with the chronic condition. Okay, and readings by Wen said, Venezuelan pride. Yes, he is practically the patron saint of Venezuela, Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez, a wonderful worker who helps you find the best doctor and helps the doctors work with you. Okay, so thank you, Papa Newt. Now, I'm going to give you some other advice here. You asked about you don't know which way to go with your career, and you asked if your finances would be turned around, and we didn't answer those questions because our cards came out having to do with health. So before I go any farther with some health matters, I want you to understand that you are free to call back anytime and ask about your career, and call back anytime and ask about your finances, because we know that the cards just came up health, so that seems to be your biggest blockage right now.
It is. The health is, because the health has caused the career and finance issue, so I totally understand it.
Right. All right. So I'm going to recommend some very simple health work, and I'm going to give you a prescription of some herbs. This kind of goes along with what our topic was earlier. I'm going to prescribe some herbs, and we're going to hope that Papa Newt writes them down as I speak, because he's real good at that. I want you to get some Life Everlasting. This is just a very innocuous little daisy-like herb that is used for prolonging your life and is used in tea. I want you to get some Self-Heal, otherwise known as All-Heal. Okay? I want you to get some Yarrow, which is used for courage and for promoting your energy level. It's very, especially you want yellow yarrow if you can get it, rather than the white. And these are, again, innocuous plants. They're not going to harm you in any way. And I want you to get a little good supply. You can get them from an herb shop or a place like Lucky Mojo. But what you want is to have enough of those on hand, and you're going to make up a boiled tea, you know, crunch them up a little bit, put them into a tea, and drink that tea. I'd like you to add that tea to whatever stimulating tea you use. In other words, if you drink caffeinated green tea or black tea, you're going to, you know, do that. Just infuse it with it. You're also going to add a little bit of turmeric. And turmeric is a grocery store herb. It's in the ginger family. You could also add a little bit of ginger. I like the candied ginger. Sweeten your tea with that. And you can, if you like, you can also add grains of paradise. Grains of paradise are related to turmeric and ginger. They're all in the same family. And you can just make yourself up a little batch of that. Grains of paradise are pretty expensive, so you're going to just put a few in each little cup. When you make up that tea, you can also use that for bathing. And it's very, again, it's innocuous. It's not going to hurt you. Of course, you're not going to bathe with candied ginger. You can just use a little bit of ginger powder or ginger, chopped ginger in the bath. Don't use too much. You don't want to burn your skin. But you can make a dilute form of it, or you can leave off the ginger family things. In other words, leave off the turmeric, leave off the ginger, and leave off the grains of paradise, and just make the bath with the three other herbs, life everlasting, self-heal, and yarrow. And when you bathe with this, you don't have to make a big ritual out of it and do it like once every month. You're going to just do it on a fairly regular basis. Just boil up a little bit, make a cup of tea, drink it. One of the more convenient ways, as I say, to put in a piece of candied ginger as your sweetener for the tea, and then whatever you didn't drink, you're just going to, when next time you wash your hands, when you wash your face, when you wash yourself, just always be adding that. You're going to pray continually for healing and pray for finding a doctor who is going to be a good doctor for you, and maybe a several doctors, because I think you have some problems here that really need some work. But those things can be made that way. Now, if you like a tincture in alcohol, you can do the same thing, but take the Life Everlasting, the Self-Heal, and the Yarrow, and you can take the candied ginger, the grains of paradise, and the turmeric, and put them into whiskey. Shake it up and let it sit for at least a week before you start to use it, and then just be... take a little spoonful of it and put a spoonful of that in your regular coffee or tea, and or just take it as a little medicine. And when I say a little spoon, I mean like a demitasse spoon. I don't mean be guzzling that stuff, okay? And that is a medicine you can make for yourself, and it is a medicine for self-healing, for getting your own immune system and your own body to try to do what can be done with what you've got, you know, make the best of it. They're also, with the ginger and the turmeric and the grains of paradise, are mentally enlivening herbs and will help you enliven you mentally. All right, now I'm going to turn this over to the other guys. Let's see what Ali and Nadia have to say. Nadia, do you have anything to add to this?
You gave so much information that I really don't have anything specific to add, and I don't want to overload it. I think that's such a beautiful and ongoing work that's just great. So
it is absolutely beautiful. I do love the fact that there are some, the inclusion of ginger and the grains of paradise is a very fortifying combination, so I think that's fantastic. The only thing I would add to this is not work that you would do, but work with a spiritual community as well, a spiritual worker who will kind of help you, not as a substitute for a doctor, I'm very clear on this, okay, or a substitute for a therapist or anything like that, but someone who can walk with you. A great way to start is to check out the Crystal Silence League, where you can ask them to pray on your behalf. You can submit a petition. They will pray for you. Someone will pray for you, and they will send those prayers and healing power directly through you via their crystal ball. And then also find someone specific that you can work with on a regular basis, someone who is a healer themselves and who can stand with you.
Yeah, I think that's really good. As you start to feel better and come up out of this health-wise and get the medical help you need, the other herbs you're going to add will be a little bit of cinnamon for money, a little bit of cloves, which is also good for money and for friendship, and a little bit of allspice berries, which is also good for money. You can add those to your tea. It'll make it more like a chai type of tea. Okay? All right, honey. Well, I hope we were able to help. Call back anytime when you want to talk more about just your finances, okay? All right, folks, you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Workout, and we're going to come back after these announcements with our free spell.
The The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candelo's Corner, starring Candelo Cambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell with Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. You take it away, Madam Nadia.
Well, I've been thinking about how to incorporate all these different things that we use in Hoodoo and teach our listeners how to make a little talisman or amulet. And what I would like to suggest is, first and foremost, to work with the first pentacle of the moon. So the first pentacle of the moon is a very, if you look at it visually, it's very different than the other pentacles, and especially of the pentacles of the moon. It's a very magical talisman in itself, and it's actually it's a door. It's like a portal. So if you think about it, and if you read the verse, and in Hebrew it sounds like this: Kishaval dlatot nechoshet vebrichei barzel gidea. And it means he hath broken the gates of brass and smitten the bars of iron in thunder. So there is a power in this specific pentacle to transform and move forward from a place that where you are to where you would like to be. So let's, for this specific working, I suggest to do spell work for either abundance or for love. In any case, you will need 2 mercury dimes and a little printout of this specific pentacle. What I also would like you to do is to get a little bit of cinnamon powder and to get a little bit of sandalwood powder. Both of these will work wonderfully for love and for abundance. Now, in case you're doing it for yourself, you just want to open the roads for success, put one hair from your head into our little cinnamon sandalwood concoction. In case you are in a relationship and you want this relationship to move forward, put your hair and the hair of your beloved with cinnamon and sandalwood. Write your petition on the first pentacle of the moon that you printed out and burn that to ashes with cinnamon, sandalwood, and the hair. Have a little dish where you're doing it so you have access to it. As you burn in it, you'll want to pray for the roads to be open, for the portals and gates to be open, for the moon to shine and reflect and enlarge everything that you want to receive. When you are done with the burning part, you're going to take a little bit and you're going to place it between the 2 mercury dimes, and you're going to use a little bit of super glue, and you're going to glue this together so it becomes one loaded little talisman that you can carry with you wherever you go. You can keep it in your wallet for money. You can keep it under your mattress for love. So, endless things you can do with it. And whatever's left from the ashes, because usually there is more left, you're going to take to the crossroads and you're going to blow it to each direction as you pray for your roads to be open. And I would like you to do that specifically on a full moon, because we worked with the pentacle.
Wow. That's amazing. What a beautiful spell. You know, I've been working with this book. I've been editing Legends of Incense, Urban Oil Magic. And it's a great old book, as I mentioned, from 1936. Have you ever seen that book, Nadia?
No,
of course you haven't. Because, you see, as anyone can tell from your beautiful accent, you weren't raised here, and your beautiful Hebrew was awful beautiful.
Hey, I got the compensated, right?
The tenth chapter of that book that I've been working on, Legends of Incense Urban Oil Magic, there's little drawings. Put talisman in mattress. Put talisman in pocketbook. Yeah, really, put talisman in clothing. And it's just exactly the kind of thing you just said. And it's fabulous because this shows the universality of this kind of work. It's lovely. So that's really, really great. And blowing the ashes to the four quarters or four quarters of a road and saying, open my roads, that's just beautiful work. I love this spell. It's just adorable.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have a knack for these things. Now, I'm going to say, I know someone's going to ask, so you know me. I'm playing devil's advocate, and I'm going to ask it the way they ask. But, Miss Nadia, when you super glue the two dimes together, should the heads be out or the tails be out?
Definitely put the heads out. I would not mess with mercury and put the heads inside. I would do it actually if you want to block somebody's road, but I would put the heads out definitely. And the reason we're using mercury dimes for that is because mercury is known for moving very fast and being can bring aid in commerce and games and love as well. So you definitely want the heads to be looking out.
Right. And then the other question they're going to ask is, if you have to take it to the crossroads at the full moon, Miss Nadia, when do you burn it? Do you burn it the same night that you're going to take it to the crossroads, or do you burn it at a different time of the moon?
It depends on the style of the work. You definitely can burn it on that night, and if it's a nice enough night, you want to burn it right there in the middle of the crossroads under the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you can work with the light of the moon and you still be able to glue and do all of it, or
mm-hmm.
bring a little candle, a little flashlight, absolutely, it's going to be amazing. If you want the work to grow in power, you can do this on the new moon and then pray
mm-hmm.
over it until the full moon and then bring it over to the crossroads and complete the work on the full moon.
Okay. Now I'm going to say one more thing about the new moon, because a lot of people are new to this. The new moon is not the dark of the moon. In folk magic, the new moon is when you first see the sliver, and it's usually
Absolutely.
4 days,
mm-hmm.
4 days after the
mm-hmm.
dead of the moon, the dark of the moon. So astronomers always say, well, that's the new moon. It's really new. You could see it if you had a telescope, but we don't have a telescope, and we can't see it. And so all around the world, the new moon means the first sighted crescent, and the dark of the moon is the dark of the moon. So what she's saying is pray from when you first sight the moon at sunset, and you'll see it right where the sun goes down. You'll see that little sliver. Look every day, and you'll see it. That's the new moon. And you'll pray continuously for all the days until you get to the new moon, until the full moon, excuse me, until you get to the full moon. Okay, thank you. That's a beautiful spell. And two different ways to learn.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Lovely. Yeah. All right. Well, we're coming to the end of our show. We're going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us some announcements, and we'll come back, and then we'll say our goodbyes. So take it away, Papa
Thank
Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Contraman Ali. And thank you, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers will be Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, bringing us the topic of candle altar services. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Woodwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. And remember, folks, Papa Newt is going to soon be a member of AIR. All right.
Yay!
Yay. thank you, Madam Nadia, for being our guest, and thank you so much for coming in with great spells on short notice.
Thank you.
And Conjurman Ali, thank you, too.
Always a pleasure.
Well, it's just lovely to have you guys. Now, my last little reminders before we go. The Hoodoo Heritage Festival, May 14th and 15th. Please buy your tickets soon. You'll save money. Ticket prices go up until the gate price is higher than they are now. So check it out. And if you want to be part of the presenter's banquet, you got to sign up for those early because that is limited seating. And that allows you as a guest to be seated with some of our presenters and root workers and professionals. All right, I'm going to get back to work and work on books, and I'll be having my fun and talking to Gray Townsend and making art. That's what I'm going to be doing. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.